North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning, North Rock.
Good morning.
See, this is working. Yeah, you guys, glad to have a pastor in the house? Yeah. Finally, right? Yeah. Finally. I'm going to go ahead and shut this off real quick. And then we'll try it again, see if it works, okay? Hey, how many of you guys are glad to be a part of a family reunion? Wow, man. We had such an amazing time last weekend. I keep thinking this family reunion is going to end sometime, but it doesn't. Francois and Nathalie are with us. Oh, and last weekend we had over 650 people here at North Rock celebrating what God's done in this church over the last 25 years. So we are so thankful for that. Yeah, and then it just doesn't stop today. My grandmother is in the house. So would you please welcome Arliss Phillips, my grandma from Kansas. Yeah. And Deanna. Deanna is reunited with Sean.
Yeah.
Reunited. It feels so good, right? So glad to have you here, Deanna. So glad to have you here. And as Tiffany alluded to, this entire week we've been up in the mountains in Keystone, Colorado, putting on a fall Bible conference for our pastors. So as part of Sam and I's job, we oversee a 5-state territory of churches. So we had over 400 pastors with us all week long. And it's like, how many of you guys have been to church camp when you were in youth group, right? I mean, that's kind of what it's like with old people, okay? All day long, training, and then services at night, and then training, and services at night, and then training, and then services at night. And then you pour yourself into your car and you come home physically and emotionally exhausted, but so spiritually refreshed. The Lord was so good to us. And I did want to just acknowledge that this family reunion theme does continue as my spiritual mother's in the house too, and Betty Oriano. Betty is the lady that prayed for me when I was running around doing stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing. So she's the gal, she's the one that I attribute my call into ministry too. So again, we are a part of a family, right? We've been so blessed by some of our spiritual aunts and uncles that have come and shared the word with us over these past months. I just cannot believe Jody and I have felt so honored, so loved, and so just supported by people that we've known for a while, but also many of you who we're just now starting to get to know. But I also wanted to just point out today as we get ready to kind of enter into a new series that we're a part of a family heritage. Not just a family, but a family heritage. And that my title of my message today is The Greatest Love Story Ever. Okay, so turn to somebody and say, we're going to hear about the greatest love story ever. Yep. And since that's kind of the topic, and that's kind of what I'm going to talk about, I would be remiss if I did not point out that today is my 18th wedding anniversary with my beautiful bride, Jody Carroll. Can you believe that she's put up with me for that long? 18 years she's put up with this guy, you know? So thank you, Jody. I love you very much. And I don't know if it's just that I'm just feeling a little bit mushy because it's that day, or if it's just the nostalgia of coming back to the church that I first gave my life to Christ in, or if it's just the residue of your guys' encouraging words and all the hard work put in last weekend so we could have our great big party. But as I've kind of thought through what I wanted to talk about today, I thought it'd be important for us to start with the topic of love, okay? Now I gotta tell you, originally my first idea was that I was just gonna start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm gonna be here preaching for the next 672 consecutive weeks. Okay, so you guys can come and go as you please. We're going to work all the way from Genesis 1 through Revelation. And you guys let yourself in and out, and I'll be here just waiting for you, all right? Fortunately, I do have a wife that said, Chad, that's a really bad idea. Thank you, honey. So we're going to kind of instead, as I've tortured myself with, what's the first message that I'm going to preach to North Rock? What's the first thing that I want to talk about? And I think it really is important that we start with the meta-narrative of love. How many of you guys know that God has a lot to say about love? Amen. How many of you guys know that everybody in this world wants to be loved and wants to feel loved and wants to be a part of love? Challenge is we live in a world that tends to cause love to be distorted a little bit. Do you guys agree with that? Yeah. That there are a lot of experiences in this world that can cause us to have a distorted view of who God is and what love is, right? How many of you guys know that the Word of God says that God is love, that it really is the essence, it is the character, it is who He is, right? And it also tells us that we are a byproduct of that love, and that as disciples of Christ, we should be known for our love. In fact, it says that that's one of the biggest traits that we should be known for. But I got to ask you this question. You guys think that the church is known for their love? I mean, when you talk to people on the streets, you think that's something that that's the first thing they say is, you know, actually, if you went and looked at it online, you'd find out what people think about Christians, right? Which tells me somewhere along the way, we've got a distortion, right, of what love is, where it comes from, and how we can grow in it. How many of you guys would like to love better? Right? Man, I'm telling you, I'm just not one of those personalities that wakes up in the morning and thinking of daisies and happy thoughts and love, 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 right? No, I need coffee. I need coffee, and I need some time with the Lord, because when I spend time with the Lord, His love is poured out into me, and I can be a more lovable person. So not only do I learn from the Scriptures that about how to love, but I learn from the Holy Spirit as He guides me in my life. I learn from the relationships that He's afforded me, like my wonderful wife of 18 years. Did I mention that I've been married for 18 years today? Today is my anniversary, so... Well, let's go ahead and jump in. I just want to pray, because I don't think we've prayed enough yet. You guys got to be happy. It's like a bonus. You get like 3 messages in one Sunday. So, we're going to find out a couple of things about what love is, and a couple of the passages that I think God's speaking to us in. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we do, just before we jump into Your Word, Lord, we recognize that Your Word is intended to be a mirror to us. Lord, that as we look into it, Lord, we not only see You, but we see us. So, Lord, we pray that as we handle Your Word of God, that You would speak to us today, Lord, that we would not leave this place the same as we came in, Lord, that we would be transformed by an encounter with the living God. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that's in this place today. And, Lord, we ask You to help us to be known for our love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open them up to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and I apologize ahead of time because I'm probably going to say this 170 times in the first year, is one of my favorite places in the Bible. Luke chapter 15 is an incredible chapter in which we learn what we're talking a little bit today about love is the power of one. And it starts with a little story about a shepherd who had lost one of his sheep. And it goes on to talk about the value of that sheep and how He would lead the rest of the flock to go and find that one sheep, okay? And it goes on to talk about a coin, okay? A coin that was lost, right? And in the midst of the daily life, they lost their coin, and they went out, and they searched, and they searched, and they searched, until they found it. Well, I don't know if this is just God's sense of humor or not, but Friday night, the Northland Norse won their homecoming game against Montbello Warriors. And in the midst of that celebration, us going on with life and saying, man, this is great. I'm so happy for the kids. I'm on the bus and I'm driving back to the school, help them get home and help them celebrate a little bit. And I get a call from my lovely wife of 18 years. Says, honey, I think I lost my wallet at the stadium. So immediately that panic sets in, right? Anybody lost their wallet before? Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh no. Call the banks. Cancel everything, right? Just always start imagining what could have happened to it. And so as we start to put the pieces back together, I say, okay, honey, turn around, go back to the stadium. We'll call the stadium manager, make sure they'll let you in, go back to where you're sitting, see if maybe it fell under a seat or somewhere. So she goes back, finds out, no, it's not there. And so I get back to the school, get back in my car, and we begin to try to put the pieces together on the cell phone. And we're searching high and low. I'm following where she drove, thinking maybe she put it on top of her car. We're out, I'm just looking. I'm looking in trash cans. I'm looking all over the place. And it's because that wallet had value, right? It's because that wallet had value. And I think that God just knew I needed an illustration for this week's sermon. And He's teaching me how to love, right? How many of you guys know I could have handled that really badly. I could have been like, what are you doing, right? Guys, how many of us would be honest enough today to say, just because God is love doesn't mean we act in love all the time. Right. And we need to be discipled in that, right? We need to spend our lives learning how to love better. And that's why I say better, right? Because it's easy for us to say, yeah, I know what love is. But what's love got to do with it? It's got to do with it, right? Because if we don't figure it out, we're going to be looking for love in all the wrong places. We're going to be. So today I want us to talk about love as God defines it and how he originally intended for us to experience love, okay? So my first observation today from Luke chapter 15 is we love better when we remember the power of one. Remember the sheep, the coin, the lost wallet. And oh, there it is. Joe just holding it up. Look at that. That's the bad boy we're looking for right there, okay? And in verse 11, we hear the story of a lost son. And so this, I hope, again, is it's a big chunk of scripture. I hope you can hang with me. One of the things that I love to do when I read the Bible is try to transport myself into the situation and try to experience it for myself in that, okay? So I hope as we read through this, you can identify with two young men whose perceptions of their heavenly father was not correct, okay? So it says in verse 11, I'm going to read fast so we can get out of here. Jesus continued that there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there squandered. Everybody say squandered. Squandered. Squandered his wealth in wild living. Okay? Nobody in this room's ever done that, right? No, just don't look at your neighbor right now. Okay? After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, everybody say, when he came to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and I will go back to my father and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, this is the good part, everybody, make sure we catch this. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and a celebration. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. So they began to celebrate. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound, right? Verse 28 says, the older brother became angry, and he refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all of these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could go celebrate with my friends. How many of you guys just at that moment would say, I don't really go celebrate with young goats. Right? It's got to be a different cultural setting here, right? You don't see a lot of people partying with goats out in the streets, right? It's a different, but I think I get the idea. So he's saying, you didn't even give me half of what you've given him, right? It's just going to be one of those things, sorry, as I read the scriptures, I'm going to have to ask Jesus when I get to heaven and say, what's with the goat story? It doesn't make sense to me. Okay, sorry. So, anyway, all these years I've been slaving for you, right? It says, but when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. This was the father's reply. He says, my son, The Father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Did any of you identify yourselves as experiencing any part of this story? Yeah. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm raising mine. I'm raising both of them. Okay? And in fact, there's several characteristics, there's several types, several seasons of what I would consider our spiritual maturity that are represented in this story. One of them, I like to call it the character of the wandering, squandering son, right? We have a wandering and squandering season where we're trying to figure out if the things of this world are more important than our love of our Father, right? How many of you guys know somebody that's in a wandering, squandering season right now? Yeah. Yeah, that's really what the spiritual journey is all about, is that we pass through these seasons and we're able to identify who God is and how much love he really has for us. The second character that I like to call is the selfish squatter, right? Selfish squatter is somebody who's tasted and seen and understands that there's value in honoring God and in knowing who he is, right? But it's all about me, 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 me. Right? I always think of Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. Anybody seen that? My precious. Right? That we can treat the things that God does in our lives that way. And yet we can miss out on so much of the relationship that God really intends for us to have because we can get fixated. And again, this is just me talking. We can get fixated on his blessings instead of the blesser. Right? Yeah. So then there's the older brother, right? He's the guy that always shows up right on time. He's the guy that serves. He's the guy that loves. He's the guy that does what he's supposed to do. He's been faithful to live in the kingdom that God has afforded him. But how many of you guys know his heart is sick too? That his view of who God is distorted just enough that he forgets that it's because of God's love that he's been able to be faithful and to be able to walk out the life that he has. Okay? It's what I would consider a religious spirit, right? You guys ever run into someone with a religious spirit? Ugh, that's no fun at all. I like hanging out with the squandering wanderer a lot better than I like hanging out with the religious spirit guy, right? I am so holier than thou, thus that you should come and listen to whatever I have to say, right? We don't want to live in those places. We don't live in those places. But the point that I'm making today is if we're going to be able to love better, we've got to remember one thing, and that is that the heart of the Father is to bless. That the heart of the Father is to reunite, to come chase after. You guys catch that in the story? That the Father was pursuing that son. He's pursuing him, and the minute that he turned, the minute he changed direction, he looked back, he saw his Father there. Not just coming up to kiss and to hug him. And the scripture is very clear that it wasn't just a, right? It's a full embrace. It's a full embrace that he loves him. He's putting his robe on him. He's putting his signet ring on him. He's putting sandals on his feet. Guys, that's the love that God pursues us with every day. And if we are going to be known as a church that loves people, we've got to get whatever distortion that's in our view, wherever we're stuck in that story, to really understand that the heart and the story, the greatest love story that's ever been told, is still being told today, and it's you and I that are telling it. Got that? That really the truth of the matter is, it's not just cover to cover God's love letter to us. It's people to people. We are God's love letter to a world that desperately needs his touch, that desperately needs to know him as their Savior. Right. Oh, hey, we got a little golf clap going. Thank you very much. First Sunday, I got a golf clap. Praise God. I'm happy. I'm a happy, happy preacher up here. That's good. Hey, so again, I think, honestly, for a lot of years, I've read that story, and I found myself either as the wandering, squandering son or the selfish squatter. I found myself as that older brother. You know, I've been doing things right, Lord. Right? Really, I think that the narrative, the entire picture that God wants us to understand is Northrop, is that he is a generous God and that he loves people and he wants to use us to reach them and to show that love to them, okay? So is that something we can do? Can we remember that not only are we still chasing the one on God's behalf, but here's the other part of it. I need everybody in this room to understand, this is really important, really important. That even though you're here in the midst of a sea of people and a lot of different faces, you are still that one. You are that one. That even if none of the rest of us showed up today, God sent his son to die on that cross for the one, for you. For you, and for you, and for you, and for you. And when we understand that, I think it's like when we get bifocals, right? When we start to lose some sight. I was just telling my friend Andrew up here that it may be time for me. I'm getting to that age. And I tried to read that little bitty font right here with this lighting. Yeah, it's becoming more and more challenging. But when we can see God that way, I call it being cross-eyed, right? It's being cross-eyed. When we look through God, through the cross, then I think that we can see his true character. We can see that he is love and that we have love to share because he shares his love with us, right? So turn to somebody and say, hey, you're looking a little cross-eyed this morning. We serve a generous God. Our Father is so good. He's so good. So good. So here's the last couple of, you know, what I call icing on the cake. That's the centerpiece. That we are God's expression of the greatest love story ever told. Hallelujah. That we have to remember that church isn't this. Church is us once we're back out there. Amen. Being the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of touch points for the Lord to just bless somebody to help them see that God is action and he has given his spirit to his church, to his people, so that we can see the world one to the Lord. Because he's still chasing the one, right? So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12. And I think this is the second point that helps us love better. And that is that we love better when we recognize that love doesn't just happen, right? That it requires action. It requires participation on our behalf. And I've already admitted to you that my lovely wife of 18 years, yeah, today, right. That's good. You guys are picking up on that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That I don't just roll over and act loving sometimes. Sometimes she's got to be patient with me. Sometimes she's got to say, hey, you need to go see Jesus for a little bit because you're getting a little bit snappy here, right? So John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12 says that as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How many of you guys want to have complete joy? Oh, I love the way that this looks, the reciprocating relationship with God. As he remains in me and I remain in him, that he gets joy out of it and my joy is complete, right? But then it's like he changes gear. That's like a really wonderful statement. And then he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And it's like all of a sudden the music stops, right? It's like, oh, beautiful, beautiful, what? Love them? Love them? The way that you love me? What? No, that can't be right. I need another interpretation here. Somebody bring me another Bible. No, that's what it says, doesn't it, Tom? That is what it says. Okay? Why do you think there's a command there? Yeah. Because this stuff doesn't happen naturally. We need a supernatural touch from God if we're going to be a people known for love, right? That's right. So, again, we love better when we recognize that love doesn't just happen. We love better when we remember the story of the one. And we love better when we recognize that love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's demonstrated in Christ's atonement, his subsequent reconciliation, and that we love better when we remember his love abides in us, right? Isn't that what we just read? I think it's written even better in Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. It says, and hope does not put us to shame or does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Again, to me, that's another illustration of the story we just wrote, is that God so wanted to be in relationship with us that he gave us his Holy Spirit to live with us. So it's not some cosmic God out there that we just come together and we get in a room together and we say, God, if you're out there, right? No, he says, my Holy Spirit lives in you. It's in you. And as you abide in me and I abide in you, I can move through your life and we can see this world one to Christ. So it says that his love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It says, you see it at just the right time. While we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love. That's it. That's the point I'm making right there. It requires demonstration, right? God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That leads me to my final and concluding point. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we get ready to close the service here. But here's the fourth thought that I have on the topic of love and the greatest love story that we're being discipled to represent God in this world. Isn't that a great privilege?
Amen.
And here it is. We love better together.
Yes,
and I just admit to you, I'm an introvert, but I'd like to just go find their cave somewhere and chill with my Bible and God. But God doesn't afford us that luxury, does he?
No, sir.
He places us in community. And you know why? Because we learn to love by being in fellowship with one another. So why are we got to be in church, y'all? It's why it can't just be about the message that comes from the platform. It's about the life that we live together. And I can tell you, I have been so blessed and so loved by this congregation, not just last weekend, but for the last 21 years of my life. This church has been here to love me and to allow me to learn how to love people better. But I can tell you, sometimes y'all can test me. And that's when I have to go back to the Lord and say, God, I need your eyes. I need your love. I need your spirit. I need your strength. What you called me to do. And because he is that same God that we just read about, because that's him, right? Not the distorted God that I think about sometimes, but the one we just read about in the scriptures, that he's generous and he's right there to meet us. How many of you guys need the Holy Spirit touch to love somebody in your life? That's the last verse right here. I'm going to pray, and we're going to ask God to change us from the inside out, okay? Last verse, if you guys have your Bibles with you, you're taking notes, is 1 John chapter 9, or 4, verses 9 through 12, okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. And it just simply says this. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and his only Son into the world that we might live through him. You guys catch that? Can't do it on our own. So this is love, that we love God, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. As we take some time today before we run out into the busyness of our lives, into the distortion of who the true Father is, would you take just a minute and would you do business with him in your heart? Maybe you're here today and you're just saying, Pastor Chad, I've never heard that I'm the one. I've just tried to come and do my best and try to live a righteous life. But I never knew that God was pursuing me, at least in the way that you described it. If that's you here today, and you would say, I get that today. That's that word for me, that I needed to be reminded today that I am the one son. And I am the one child that he's chasing. If that's you, just look up at me. I promise never to embarrass you, but I just want to acknowledge that is something that God's doing in my heart. Yeah, I see you. Thank you. maybe today we find ourselves somewhere along the way. We've known and we've responded to Christ at some point in our lives, but we're finding ourselves in a season that was described because we've gotten our eyes off of who the true God is. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that we see in that story, that you pursue us, Lord. And at the moment that we turn and we say, God, I'm tired of doing it on my own. God, I don't want to live this life without you anymore. That you're right there to receive us. Lord, we just thank you. And Father, we do, as a collective group, not just individuals, we band together to tell the greatest love story ever. Lord, give us eyes to see the wandering, squandering sons in our lives. Lord, give us eyes to see and the Holy Spirit strength to engage those that are selfish squatters in this stage of the life. Father, help them to see that the life that we live may just simply be about that. That the only purpose we're here for is to learn to love one another. Because in that we reflect who your true character is. Lord, would you change us from the inside out? In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.